Live from New York City.
New York City.
In New York City, the greatest city in the world.
Broadcasting around the world, you're listening to the Real Estate Coaching Podcast with Cashwain Campbell. He's a top real estate broker, investor, and author. It's real estate coaching for you. We interview some of the top leaders in our industry. Here is Cashwain. Cashwain.
Welcome to the Real Estate Coaching Podcast, hosted by Cashwain Campbell, your number one podcast for real estate coaching, designed to help you increase productivity and profitability.
Money, cash, cash, cash.
All right. Welcome to the Real Estate Coaching Podcast. I am your host, Cashwain Campbell. Today, we have a very, very special guest. Keep the introduction short and just jump right in. But, welcome to the Real Estate Coaching Podcast. We're very, very happy to have you. How do you feel today?
Great. It's a beautiful day outside. We're going to have a 3-day weekend getting ready to come up. Barbecue's happening, whole nine, so we're happy.
Wow. That's what we're heading into the Memorial. No, not Memorial. Labor Day.
Labor Day.
I'm off.
I was like, what are you doing? You're turning the time back.
You know what it is? I don't track the holidays anymore. It's kind of like one of those things. Remember when you were a kid and
yes.
Halloween was like the big thing you knew? The reason why we knew is because whenever there's a holiday, it's usually time off.
Exactly. So that's how you plan out your schedule. Like, oh yeah, this is going to happen next. And then we're going to have Thanksgiving and then there's Christmas. Whee! Absolutely. You school it off.
Absolutely. Now, whenever certain holidays are coming around, it's the opposite. You're now the one spending. So you're like, let me forget about this holiday.
I don't want to remember. I'm so sorry.
Definitely. So, we want to welcome you to the podcast. And first and foremost, before we get started, I just would like to ask, where are you originally from? Are you originally from New York?
I'm an original New Yorker, born and bred. I was born in the Bronx and spent several years there and basically moved out to Long Island about, 14 years ago now at this point.
Wow. And what do you think prompted the move for you to head out to Long Island? Was it the prices? Was it the taxes?
It was actually because it was a really good school that I wanted to send my son to. I wanted him to go to Lawrence Woodmere Academy. And I was actually making a commute every day from the city to bring him to Lawrence Woodmere. Subsequently to that, we moved again, and he actually ended up going to the Waldorf School in Garden City. And it was a really great experience for him to have. So it was a school. I didn't want him to go to school in the city, even if it was a private school. I just wanted him to have a different kind of experience.
Excellent. So the schools is really what brought you out to the Long Island area.
Yes.
And how has it been so far? How do you?
Well, the schools?
Just everything.
Everything about Long Island I love. I love where I live now. I've lived in several different towns since I moved. I lived in Lynbrook. Moved from Lynbrook over to Westbury, Westbury over to Paul Place, moved back to Westbury, and now I'm in Garden City. So I like it a lot. I have to admit that I'm totally like a Nassau girl. Anything over the border, I kind of cringe at. And all my friends know this about me.
Wow.
Like, oh, that's so far.
So the Bronx now, it's like you're now like a Long Island native, so the Bronx is...
The Bronx will always be in my blood and my soul. I'm definitely Lisa from the block. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Definitely. And the Bronx is actually picking up now. Speaking of real estate, there's a lot of activity out there as far as investment, being that Brooklyn, a lot of these markets are oversaturated now. A lot of people are now going out to the Bronx.
Yes. I grew up on the west side of the Bronx, the east side of the Bronx now, as well as the south side of the Bronx. That's totally being, I was going to say renovated, but I know there's another word for that.
Rehab.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's totally being rehabbed at this particular point in time. And there are parts of it that you don't even recognize anymore, which is nice. And it's nice to go back and see people that I know on both sides of the east and the west side, so to speak.
Absolutely. So you're now in real estate. How many years you've been doing real estate?
Title insurance.
Title insurance.
So now at this point, I've been doing it for 14 years. I started off actually in the back office. So I went through production. I did the clearance department as well as closings. I basically organized everything throughout the different departments and made sure that things were happening within a timely manner. And as time went on, I worked with a lot of attorneys, and they kept saying to me, if you go into sales, then we'll give you business. And I didn't want to go into sales, to be quite honest, because I couldn't see myself as being a person that's going to chase people, beg people, run behind people in order to get things done. Much to my surprise, I'm very happy that I did do it, because I don't do any of those things. I work with like-minded people who want to work with me, and it's really a great and fun industry to be in.
Absolutely. And so from there, when you say sales, for the people who are listening, especially for the newer people, what does sales mean in title?
I basically go out and I work with real estate agents, attorneys, lenders, in some cases even individuals, as well as the best investors. It could be you needing to get a personal report run for your own family member. Mm-hmm. And you come to me and say, hey, Lisa, I'm going to buy a house and I want to get a title report run and do insurance for you. And that works.
Wow. Okay, good. So it's more, let's say from the sales side, from the broker side, it's kind of like the same thing, but you're basically, reaching out to attorneys, and so forth to...
Yes, I reach out to the attorneys. I reach out to, like I said, the real estate agent, and I reach out to the lenders as well. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of times that I try to create teams within in my community. So I'll try to get with a real estate agent who works really well with the same attorney that I work with, who works really well with the same banker. So we're working as a team, and then we all are on the same page, basically to get the deal closed as quickly as we possibly can, mm-hmm. as first and foremost. And in addition to that, if there are any problems, because we work so closely together, people can call you at 9 o'clock at night and try to solve those problems before the day even the sun comes up the next day. And
absolutely.
That happens. That does happen occasionally. And it's nice to be able to have that flexibility. Whereas if you're working with someone that you're not part of a team with, sometimes there's a lot more red tape and a lot more things that you have to go through in order to make those things happen.
Absolutely. And teamwork makes the dream work.
Yes. Right?
Not to sound all cliche, but let's just be honest. Teamwork makes the dream work. So what's one thing you wish you had known before you got into your career?
One of the things that I wish I'd known is the added value that I'm able to bring to clients, whether it's a real estate attorney or a mortgage broker or a real estate agent. In this business, because we see the deal so late, we're like the last person that the deal hits. There was a concept, and there still is, that there's no way that you can help other people that are in your circle to give the business back.
Absolutely.
And I learned later on that, yes, there is, because by doing a lot of networking and going out and growing your business, you have extra added value to bring in, because now you can introduce those people to each other and they can also work with each other on different deals as well. Whether you're included in those deals or not, you're still bringing that added value.
Absolutely. So now, right, I want to give them a scenario, especially for my new people who, I'm going off the top of my head right now.
Okay.
Because we have questions usually that we give out for the podcast, but then there's sometimes I'll throw an industry expert question in there,
okay.
Right? But it's going to be easy one, right? Nothing that we have to pull title for.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Because I don't have any computers here. The phones are down. You know,
yeah. Definitely. So the question I would like to ask, a boundary dispute, right?
Okay.
If there is a boundary dispute where sometimes as realtors, we're closing on a property and then, the neighbor's fence is just a few inches over, what's our options if there's a boundary dispute if the fence is too far over?
So I have to clarify, first of all, I am not an attorney.
No,
however,
exactly.
I see these things happen all the time. It just happened recently with one of the deals that we were working on, and I have to give a shout out to my boss, Nicole, because she's amazing.
Nicole!
So there was a fence that actually was within the boundary lines. We call it out of possession. Mm-hmm. And the way that we came up with the solution is that we actually just decided to put a gate into the fence, because now that now the purchaser, the new buyer of the home, would actually have access to his or her property on the other side because they had access, because now we have a fence into that gate. So that was one of the solutions that we came up with.
Okay, so
this worked for everything, but that was for this particular instance.
So what you're basically putting a gate so both neighbor and owner of this particular unit can actually walk back and forth.
Well, you really want the gate to be there because you want the new owner to have possession of their property. So the neighbor who's next door can't come and say, well, you knew that I was using this property all along and you have a fence here, you never even crossed the line.
Okay.
By the fence being there, now I can open up my fence and I can go and sit there if I want to. I can put a little bit of flowers there if I want to. So now I'm really using my property, and I actually have access to the property.
So now I gave you access.
Yes.
So there's no way you can say, hey, you haven't given me access. There's a door. Not a door, but
there's a gate that's there, and I now have access to my other side of my property.
Got it.
Yes.
So, all right. So that seems reasonable. There have been times where I actually have to go and speak to neighbors and
affidavit
signs and all of that. Then there's a temporary one where, you know, after, if they decide to sell again, then they have to get re-signed.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot that goes into that, but this is actually a very unique situation.
Yes.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah. She's pretty creative, that one, when she needs to be.
Yeah, definitely.
It worked very well for us.
Definitely. So what about things like easements, you know, where I might have been using this particular part of my property to get to X side of my property, but it's actually on your side? You know, is there things like that that may come up as well?
Usually, and that happens a lot of times when there are new developments that are being built out. Sometimes they don't actually say in the contracts that there's a use of the road.
Yes.
But in order for me to get to my house, in order for me to get to my property, which is, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 feet, whatever it is in. Obviously, it's something that we know is something that's going to happen, that I have to come across that. So technically, no one really makes a big deal over those types of easements in order for them to be able to utilize them. And those are the only ones, truthfully, that I've been involved in. So I couldn't address any other ones because, again, I'm not an attorney.
Absolutely. So, you know, so what's one of your biggest failures and what did you learn from it?
I think the biggest failure that I had is I didn't understand the power of networking. When I got into this business, no one said to me, I'd never been in sales before. Mm-hmm. And when I got into this business, no one said, hey, you know what, go and join a B&I group. Go and join your local chamber of commerce. You know, go out and find women's groups. No one said any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes a difference when you have people that are within the same industry you are, because despite what people think, Thai people get along fine with each other. And we bounce questions off each other on a regular basis. And it's really nice to have that camaraderie as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the power of the networking and being able to help people grow their business as well, you're growing yours. Again, coming back to the whole thing of, you know, me doing the intros to the attorneys and to the mortgage brokers, that's a very big thing to be able to do that.
Absolutely. You really hit something here when you're saying network. We actually have an entire episode on your network is your net worth.
Yes.
I believe that's the title of that episode. And what I usually tell people is become the most networked person you know. Right?
Yes.
And like you said, you know, when you first got started, no one told you.
It was a secret.
No one told you. So what's some of the things you did to unveil the secret? Like, what's some of the things that you still currently do?
It was just like one day I was sitting there and I had kind of like an epiphany and I went to myself, well, if there's networking groups for other things, you know, and industry parties for other things, because prior to working in title insurance, I worked in publishing and I knew there were a lot of industry parties because I used to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there's got to be a way that real estate has the same thing other than just the Chamber of Commerce. Because I found the Chamber of Commerce first because that's in your local backyard, right?
Absolutely.
From there, I just started Googling things like real estate networking groups, women's real estate networking groups. And the more that I Googled, the more they revealed. And when you're in those groups, what happens is that more people that you connect with tell you about other events that are going on.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a paid event or if it's a free event, people still tell you about the events.
Absolutely.
So that was basically how I started getting older hurdles and going out and meeting more and more people and just loving what it is that I do.
Absolutely. And what kind of advice would you give someone who is trying to pursue a career such as yours?
There's lots of peaks and valleys in this business. And you gotta be ready for the highs as well as ready for the lows. Make as many connections as you possibly can. Make sure that you have the people that are around you that are very supportive in what your business is gonna do. Don't give up. Just keep planting seeds and the business does grow.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I know you mentioned networking and getting yourself out there. What's some of the best resources that you've used that you feel has helped you build your business?
Again, other people that I have worked with. I have real estate agents that constantly give out my information to other real estate agents to say, hey, you know what, use this title company, use my title girl, she's great, she'll help you out.
Mm-hmm.
I also have other realtors, other attorneys, I should say, that are very loyal and that whenever there's business that comes, they give it to me.
Absolutely.
As well as bankers. So they come to me on a regular basis and it's kind of like, hey, Lisa, can I help you out kind of a situation? Because when you build genuine relationships, people like that. That's something that's really, really good to have. Real relationships, not based on having to go out and buy somebody a drink or having to go out and buy somebody, you know, to feed you all the time. Or I do like them there, but right now with regulations, I can't.
Yeah.
But if you have a relationship that's just based on what you're giving in that regards and it's not a true relationship,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to fail. It's never going to succeed.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I believe that, you know, relationships are definitely the gateway to staying in the business.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I've heard numerous trainings on, you know, especially real estate agents being transaction-based.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're transaction-based, your business just goes up and down.
Right.
Where you're just chasing after every buyer, every seller. Rather than building an actual business where people also refer you business, and that's kind of like how you stay in the business.
Yeah, you never want to chase after people. It will exhaust you, you will be tired, you'll be banging your head against the wall, you won't understand why they don't want to do business with you.
Absolutely.
Everybody is not a match. Everybody
Absolutely.
Is not, you can fire a client the same way you can fire them. I have done it, trust me. And it's the best thing that you can do for yourself sometimes because some clients will want to take advantage of you and you have to know the ones who will take advantage of you and who are just using you for whatever the purpose is and the ones that are truly want to have a relationship with you.
Absolutely. So before we get to the next question, right, we've spoken about this too. You were actually on Million Dollar Listing.
Oh, yeah. My God, yes. I was. It was so much fun. It was so much fun.
Definitely. I guess you didn't know I was going to bring that
No,
up.
I didn't.
It's, you know what it is? It's something that I feel like you should put out there because you weren't just on, like, a trailer, right? You were like, hey,
no, okay.
You were actually on in the actual episode.
Yes, that was the actual episode. I was told that was a camera call, is what I was told. Because I was throughout the whole thing, you saw me, and then I was asking questions, so yes.
Yeah.
It was a very enjoyable experience. I'd definitely do it again. Everybody that was there was really, really super. And it was great.
Definitely. So anything you learned from that? Did that increase business by any chance? Or
well,
what was the response back from
that? One of the things that I did learn is that you shouldn't go to Triple Play, which is an industry event, and then have to rush back to get upstate. it's a film because you're going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
That was one of the things I did learn. Unfortunately, I actually was trying to get one of my friends to buy that property because he was looking for new properties at the time.
Yeah.
And he whipped out because he lives in California and he said that New York's too cold for him. That was his excuse. Fortunately, the property did sell, but it was nice. I made connections with other real estate agents that were there as well. And we've talked a couple times since, and who knows what's going to happen out of that.
Absolutely. And that listing, whose listing was that, the one?
It was Steve Bowles.
Steve Bowles. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It was his event. It's his show.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Good. 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 So that was amazing.
It was. It was great.
Definitely. So I know you mentioned Nicole. Who are the, let's say three people who have the most influence to you?
Okay. That would be my sister Sheila. Mm-hmm. Who's a psych major, so she's always been getting to my kids and figure things out. My mother, who keeps me grounded and never lets me forget where I came from.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And my son, because he lets things roll off his back like a duck, and I've just basically learned from him that you don't let things and people get under your skin. He always has a saying. He always says, "Things always work out for me, mother." That's what he says. Sean is very bright and very smart. He's been saying that probably since he's about, 10 or 12 years old. So that's what he says. Things always work out for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what is the one common myth about your professional field that you want to debunk, that you want to
that only the attorney has control of purchasing or selecting the title insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is that the buyer is the person who's going to actually end up paying for the title insurance company. And as realtors, and this is what I tell a lot of realtors when I work with them, mm-hmm. you have the opportunity to work as part of a team with me or with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get your deals closed as quickly as possible, you need to have a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
People that are looking out for you and your best interests and for your client's best interests. I always recommend to them, and what seems to really work, is that they actually will let their buyers know that they have someone that they work with on their team, and they'll do the
Absolutely.
Same thing with bankers if they're not have not been here coached.
Yes.
They'll let the buyers know, and if they choose one of the attorneys, because they also have attorneys on their team, then it just makes it very easy. If they choose a different attorney other than what's on their team, they'll still, a lot of times, I'll still end up getting that title because they'll explain to them, listen, I understand that you're using this attorney, but I still would like you to use this title person because it's going to work out much better for me. And then the buyer goes back and tells their attorney. Attorneys never disagree with the buyers when it comes to this, not unless there's something that they maybe have their own title company or their brother or sister or mother or someone has it. But usually they don't have a problem with letting you select your own title company.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. An agent should understand that because not a lot of agents know about that side of the business. They just want to put something in contract, get paid, and keep it moving.
Right.
You know?
And a lot of times, there are things that can be done because I've had transactions. Yeah, I've had transactions where the deals kind of get like stuck a little bit, and I'm on the phone, I'm talking to the agent, they're saying, why is this getting stuck? And I'm like, I'll go and I'll look through the records, and it can be 8, 9 o'clock at night, and I'll take them through the file. Because it's on the computer, I'm going to have access to it, and I'll say, oh, so this is what the problem is. You know, we're waiting to get back an answer for payoff.
Yeah.
And then the agent will follow up, and they'll find out, oh, well, this is already done because it was a prior satisfaction for maybe a refinance that they had already had.
Yes.
This was already done for whatever reason, because they used to send satisfactions directly to clients. They weren't so readily sending them to be filed in the courthouse, and the client used to have to take satisfaction.
Yes.
So sometimes clients would have those satisfactions buried underneath all the paperwork and they didn't know that it was there. Or it could have been a previous title report that we needed to get access to and the client actually has it. And now all of a sudden, what was holding up the situation, we can now go and we can deal with clear title for them.
Got it. Okay, so yeah, I mean, it's definitely important, as you're saying, for the realtor, I guess, to learn just a little bit more information.
Yes.
Because often with salespeople, they're just, like I said, they're just trying to put something in contract,
right.
Get a check, and go home.
Yeah.
But it's a process. Like, if we were looking at a line right now, a timeline, there's contract, there is contract signing,
right.
There could be issues.
Exactly. The inspection, maybe that's not the right way, or another inspection before you get to
yeah.
the contract.
So,
yeah.
My thing is, what we're trying to say here, guys, is, really take the time to learn the business, especially, the title side of the business, because, once you put it in contract, there are different factors, which I'm pretty sure you can agree to, Lisa. There are different factors that may prevent your deal from closing.
Yes.
It's not just about showing the customer, getting them, an accepted offer, contract sent out, bingo sign, seller signs, not hurrah. You know, we're now at the bar popping champagne. You know,
exactly. It doesn't work that way.
Then you get the call from Lisa. There's another owner. You can just picture it, right? there's another owner out there.
Yeah, you don't want those problems. You don't want those problems. Trust me. I mean, I had one agent call me up, and his deal had been like a good club. And he said, "I don't understand what's taking so long." And she said, "I noticed they had like 6 judgments." I said, "Really? You call me 11 o'clock at night? Well, I have my answer the phone. That's just me, and I only need like 4.5 hours of sleep. So, which is good.
Absolutely.
So he calls me up on the phone. He's like, "I don't understand. I know they had 6 judgments. And I looked through the whole like file, and I was like, "No, try 60. And then I went through the notes. I went through all the notes, and it told me, you know, how many times we called the attorney's office, how many times we sent them emails. I went through everything, and there was no responses of what it was that we needed to get back. That, in turn, helped the agent. And the reason why it helped the agent is because now the agent got on the phone and said, "Hey, I understand that the title company has been reaching out to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't had back to them with what they need." Within, like, I'd say 3 days, everything was cleared up and they were cleared close.
So how did you get those judgments, like, rectified?
Well, what we're doing is we're waiting for proof that things were paid off. There were some things that they had that was showing that had already been taken care of, but no one was reaching out to, you know, the attorney side to make sure the client actually had those things taken care of. So a lot of times, again, it goes back to the client having certain things taken care of.
Got it. So you just have to show, in certain cases, you just have to show proof.
Correct.
Get the judgment taken off.
Correct. Okay,
they've paid off X.
Exactly.
Take it off. Just like if you paid something on your, like your credit, something comes on your credit, you show proof, they take it off the credit.
Correct.
Same thing with the judgment.
Exactly.
Definitely. All right, guys. So, you know, this is the Real Estate Coaching Podcast. Before we wrap up, Lisa, is there any place online or where our customers can find you? Our listeners. Customers, right?
Yes. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Instagram, and you can find me on LinkedIn. Key to my name is, though, it's not Lisa. My first name is actually Leisa. So if you look for Lisa, Leisa Crawford, on any of those, you will find me.
Definitely. Definitely. So, guys, we appreciate you listening to the podcast. I think now we're in so many different countries at the moment, Spain, Switzerland, all over. So just make sure you guys continue to support the podcast. Make sure you share it, like it on social media. And we're just really doing more things like this to empower the real estate community. You know, a lot of you sometimes, you know, get recruited into business, get recruited into brokerages, and you just put in front of a computer and people say close deals. So now with the internet, you know, you can find podcasts like this on YouTube videos and, you know, try to learn the business. So everyone should have a fair opportunity in the business.
And definitely.
This is why things like this is important. So guys, thank you for listening. Have a billion-dollar day, and I'll definitely see you guys on the beach tomorrow. Enjoy.
Cash, money, cash, 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 money, cash, cash, cash.
To find out more on how you can get started in real estate, call 516-998-3099. And email all your questions and ideas for future podcasts to email cash with a K at cashwaynecampbell.com. Check out the links in the description to connect with Cash Wayne on social media. Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Coaching Podcast.